All right, this is exactly what was just brought up. It's really important to separate saying that's a type 3 error versus saying, damn it, I didn't get what I wanted. A statistical decision error, a statistical conclusion validity error, is the difference between what we found and what's true in the population. Results contrary to the hypothesis is the difference between what we found and what we hoped for. So the thing you have to recognize is we're playing with three things. We've got what's going on in the population. We've got what's going on in our data. And we've got our research hypothesis. The relationship between the population and the data is statistical conclusion validity. Type 1, type 2, type 3 errors. Did we get what we should have? The comparison between the research hypothesis and our data answers the question, did we get what we wanted? You have to separate, did we get what we wanted, from did we get what we should have to have gotten the correct conclusion? And so let's look at each of these. They're the same, they're each a little 3x3 table, but you have to notice how they're labeled. When we're talking about statistical decisions, we're talking about comparing what's in the population to what was our decision. There's only three possibilities. Group 2 does poorer, the same, or better. When we're all done analyzing the data, we pick one of these three decisions. And then we compare our decision with what we should have gotten that would describe what's true in the population. We've got correct rejections, correct retention, type 1, 2, and type 3 errors. The only time you use the word type 3 error is when you're comparing your results to the population. When you're talking about this, I'll find it. There we go. This is not about statistical conclusion validity. This is not about decision errors. This is about, did we get what we wanted, what we hoped for, what we were pining for, lusting after, whatever metaphor you like. This is what we're talking about in that question. Does our outcome match our research hypothesis? And I bring you the technical language of smiley faces. Smiles mean we got what we wanted. Light blue means we didn't get what we wanted. And dark blue, what I refer to as the oh shit face, means we got it backwards from what we hypothesized. Now here's the thing. These are two separate evaluations. Did we get what we wanted? Did we get what we should have? The second being about statistical conclusion validity. So here's the whole story. Upper left-hand corner, we were hoping for a positive correlation. We found a significant negative correlation. Smiley face. But that smiley face might be a correct rejection, or it might be a type 1 or a type 2 error. The one in the middle, we were hoping for no correlation. We hypothesized no correlation. We found no correlation. Smiley face. But it might be a correct retention or a type 2 error. Every one of these has got two elements to it. Did we find what we wanted, and did we get it correct, or did we make an error? Let's look at an example. Our research hypothesis is that there will be a positive correlation between how much a person likes performing practical jokes and a number of close friends a person reports. We found a correlation of negative 0.3, p of 0.02. Look at that p-value. Are we going to retain or reject the null? Reject. Do we have a relationship in our data? Is that relationship positive or negative? Does that significant negative correlation support the research hypothesis? No, it does not. A literature review, now, this should be a lesson. You do the literature review before the hypotheses, not after the study. A literature review revealed 12 other studies of these two variables, each of which found a significant negative correlation. Is our significant negative correlation that we found, our data, probably right or probably wrong? We're probably right. We found a negative correlation. Everybody else found a negative correlation. We're probably right. And you have to ask yourself, where the did the positive correlation hypothesis come from? This is why we do literature reviews instead of generating hypotheses. Make sure that you pay attention, not just to did people study things, but what data patterns they found. Did people find consistent data patterns? And if so, you should probably have hypotheses that are consistent with other findings. And there's another one in here for you to take a look at and think about. All right. On Friday, we're going to look at two really important things, one of which is effect size estimate. We've got correlations we can do, ANOVAs we can do, chi-squares we can do. We can shift back and forth between quantitative and qualitative variables, manipulated and measured variables, between and within groups designs. We need some way to have a single number quantitative summary of what we found. And we need to be able to use that single number quantitative summary to compare the results within and between different ways of running the study. That's what effect sizes are all about. The great advantage of effect sizes is it also leads to something else. The most annoying thing in research is to get a non-significant effect that matches what you hoped for. You wanted a positive correlation, you got a positive correlation, but it's not significant. You wanted to find that the treatment worked better than the control, and it did, but not significantly. The way to avoid type 2 errors is to run a study that's large enough with enough participants in it. That process of deciding how many participants should we have in a study is called a power analysis. And we will look at how we use effect size estimates first to summarize a study and compare studies, and then to help us select the sample size for our study so we don't end up with an annoying type 2 error. And that'll be the last of the new information for this exam. Then we'll start spending a couple days practicing and prepping and getting ready for exam 2. Have a great day.